In a world where Mondays are taken over by a machine, welcome to Machine Mondays.
Machiniacs and Schmodown fans, and welcome to another episode of Machine Mondays. I'm Janine the Machine, and first off, as usual, I gotta give a huge thank you to David B for creating this awesome track for me, the official Machine theme. Thank you so much, David B. And if you want to check him out, you can find him at DavidBMusic21 on Twitter. Also gonna give a huge thank you to Kevin the Smasher Smets for that awesome voice intro. I love it so much. Thank you so much, Kevin. And if you want to check out Kev or his awesome Star Wars KOTOR trilogy movie, you can find all of that at his Twitter at Kev Smets. But let's get into today's episode. So since the match has finally been released to the public, I will be talking the IG Championship match along with the undercard match in teams. And then I will just kind of briefly go through the three matches that we got for the singles tournament last week. I'm actually playing along with all of the matches on the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon, my Patreon with Morgan Robinson. So yeah, if you want to see me play along with all the matches in the singles tournament, join the Patreon at the $3 tier and you'll get to see all of that. So we'll just be talking about those main matches and then kind of go through briefly the three matches that premiered last week for the singles tournament. So we had Final Exam versus The Pride as the undercard match for the IG belt match. So we go through the first round. Just some things that I kind of picked up on. Rachel missed the Selma question and answered the butler. And that kind of just put the thought process in my head. You know, competitors study all kinds of things in singles and teams to get ready for matches. But it feels like they're not really studying black films as part of their studying. And I've been really excited to see them come up actually more and more. Like, the past few matches, I've heard a lot of questions around black movies, hood movies, like, all kinds of great black films. And it's been really great to see. I mean, that Princess and the Frog 5-pointer that came up recently was really exciting to see. And I'm, like, screaming. I'm screaming at the TV, the answer. But yeah, it's been really great to see. So just kind of her mixing up those two movies for me was just kind of putting that thought in my head of, you know, it's kind of not great that competitors really aren't bothering to add at least some of these movies, at least the bigger, more mainstream popular ones, into their studying, even if they're not watching them, which, I mean, it would be great if they watched them, at least just have some knowledge on them. That would be amazing. And, you know, I tweeted about that. I even talked about, you know, maybe having at least one black slice represented on the wheel for every match. Viola Davis and Angela Bassett, a Spike Lee, you know, just one of those categories always on the wheel at all, every time. So that it would kind of push people in the direction to have to kind of at least give those movies a little bit of attention. You know, I'm sure people are like, oh, that's more work for us, but that's part of the game. Like, singles and teams is anything in every theatrically released movie. So I think when you're studying, I think that's something to think about and take into account. So just that whole mix up with black films just kind of put that thought in my head. And then Lon has a very disappointing miss. He doesn't realize that he thinks it's the bonus question. He doesn't realize that it's the last question of the round. And so he doesn't answer. He knows it, but he didn't think, you know, it was his place to answer because he didn't go perfect. So then he misses the Mulan because he just wasn't paying attention. So that kind of sucked. And, you know, it sucked because he knew it. But Paul and Ben end up going perfect, so they both get the bonus. So the score is 14 to 15 with the Pride leading going into round two. The Pride goes first on the wheel and they land on Carpenter. They spin away and get Spy Films. They kind of fight their way through a little bit. I think Ben seemed like he was more of the one kind of answering the questions, and Rachel was kind of taking his lead. So they get the first one correct, the second one correct. They miss the third one, and I'm just like, of course, another one where I'm like yelling at the TV. Because, I mean, Ben just did it in her geekdom, so I was really kind of surprised he didn't know this. So they miss it. On the fourth one, they go to multiple choice. They get it right. The fifth one, they go to multiple choice and they miss, which I think it seems like it's a thing with, I don't know, with both of them or Ben, with directors, because I know they had that whole thing in another match where they, you know, kept saying John Landis and like were missing a lot of director questions. So I think that's definitely something I think they need to work on. Because this was just another example right here where they were kind of mixing up director stuff. So they do miss that question on multiple choice about the who directed the Jack Ryan movie. And then they get the last one correct on multiple choice. So then final exam comes back in for the steal opportunities. They also miss the Kingsman, Oxford's Not Brogues question, which same thing I was thinking of with Paul. Like, you just did inner geekdom. Come on, come on. So they miss it. But they do get the 1 point steal on the Jack Ryan question. Final exam, they have their round two. They actually do land on John Carpenter. They stick with it and they sweep, get every question right. So then it is now 27 to 21, final exam leading going into round three. Rachel gets the two, Ben misses the three. And then the five comes up and I'm just like, yes, I'm another time where I'm shouting at my screen. I love You've Got Mail. I mean, I love 9 to 5. So anytime I see Dabney Coleman, he sticks in my brain because I'm always just like sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. So, you know, watch 9 to 5. If you haven't seen 9 to 5, it's a great movie. But yeah, every time I see him, I'm just saying those words in my head, sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot, because that is the thing about him in 9 to 5. So I was, yeah, screaming Dabney Coleman, Dabney Coleman. And yeah, he's in a rom-com. It's a rom-com question. I knew that. And I was like, oh, so excited, that, it was like a rom-com vibe that I knew. And I was like, oh, you know, it's just those things where that was a question I would have loved to get in a match. So they miss it. And final exam ends up winning the game. Good match. I really love Paul and Lon together. You know, the whole delinquent personality is really great. And I think even though he didn't mean to miss that Mulan because he just kind of wasn't paying attention, it did kind of play into his character. So that was kind of fun. You know, the Pride has been pretty infallible. You know, they were 2-0 going into this. I mean, I think they were really kind of coming at Frank in their promos instead of final exam. So they kind of had a misguided focus of where their, you know, rivalry was supposed to go, which was kind of funny. So I'm sure Frank was enjoying all the attention he was getting. But yeah, not their best game. Definitely, I think there are some things that really showed them that, you know, they have some spots they need to work on. But great match and played by both, and congratulations to final exam. So yeah, then we get into the IG title match. And this was a tough one. This was a really tough one. Last week when I had Christina and Abby on, we literally just finished watching that match and then had to record that episode. So, you know, we were having some drinks and we were feeling pretty down through that episode. So I don't know if you could hear it in our voices, but yeah, it was definitely difficult to do that episode having just seen this match and just not talking about it. So definitely tough. But yeah, of course, you know, Kevin's a friend of the show, friend to me. So I was really looking forward to this match. I was really rooting for him. So we go into the match. they're kind of keeping pace. Chandru ends up missing one. Kevin, it seems like he's going to go perfect. And then we get the surrogates challenge. Chandru challenges that it's surrogates, not the surrogates. Kevin has a the in there. Valid challenge for sure. And then they rule in the favor of Kevin that, you know, it's based on a graphic novel called The Surrogates, and there was no other movie called The Surrogates. So they know what he meant. They know what he was talking about. And then Chandru comes back with more arguments, and then they go back and challenge again and then rule in Chandru's favor. So Kevin doesn't get the point. I feel like I personally would have fought it harder. Just, and then, you know, I felt very dirty because Chandru used me as an example. Like, he used me as an example to go against my friend. So that wasn't fun. But he used my example of my match against Chance that, you know, I think it was the whole strangers, the strangers situation in that match. And I won that ruling just because that wasn't a set rule yet. So he said the precedent was set, that that is a rule, a set rule that, you know, you have to have the article. But then I've also seen things in other matches where there the article issue was brought up and they ruled in the same way they originally had ruled in Kevin's favor, that if there is no other movie with that title, it's okay. And you know what the competitor means. And also I would have brought up the Elba situation, like, you know, that whole thing was, well, we know what he meant. So give him the point. So, I mean, in that situation, you know what he meant. And also, I never really see them go back again. You know, usually when a competitor argues with the ruling, you know, Mark goes all kind of like boss mode and is like, that is our ruling and that is it. And, you know, that's the end of it. But, you know, he was able to argue his way to get them to go back and challenge, you know, and look at the challenge again, which I rarely see happen, if ever. So that was kind of crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, I would have probably in that moment, I think Kevin, the challenge went on very long and, you know, he just wants to move things along. And it just wasn't worth the fight. And I know he said it a bunch of times how, you know, he was just like, people are going to nitpick this and make a big thing of it and think I'm trying to be unfair. So just let it go. Just let it go. So he just was classy about it and let it go. I mean, I personally probably would have fought it harder and just said, you know, while the precedent had been set that now articles are important and there's a rule for articles, there have also been situations with articles where they ruled like they originally ruled, that there is no other movie with that name. So, you know, give it to him. So, I mean, I would have fought back a little bit on that. But I get Kevin just wanting to move things along, just wanting to be classy about it because he knew fans would bitch and make a big thing about it. So I really appreciated him being just classy in that moment. It is 9-9. Going into round two, Kevin spins first. He gets Potter. You know, he has a little bit of a discussion with Kaiser. Kaiser's like, I mean, there's better things I think you can get on there. But Kevin, you know, feels confident. So he sticks with Potter. And I think maybe he's in his head a little bit after that whole challenge business. So I think that really kind of affected his round two. He gets the first question on multiple choice. He misses the second one and Chandru gets the 2-point steal. Then he gets his third question. He misses his fourth. Chandru gets another 1-point steal and then he gets the fifth correct. So at this point now, I'm sure he's feeling really frazzled because the level that they play at, players like him and Chandru, like, you know, multiple choice is kind of going to be, a nail in the coffin for you. Just because, you know, you can't miss. Like Kevin says it all the time. It's like a who sneezes first situation. So then Chandru, he spins, he gets Middle Earth and he sweeps. But Kevin at a certain point challenges, you know, Chandru answers Denethor, but Kevin hears Denethor and he challenges that, which I can understand, you know, kind of just at this point, you just want to use whatever you can to help you get ahead, and he heard what he heard. I don't think there was any kind of race issue or, you know, making fun of an accent or anything malicious in his challenge. I don't think he came at it from that. He just heard what he heard. And so they ultimately throw it out because, you know, that's just Chandru's accent and that's how he talks and whatever. So he gets his challenge thrown out and loses his challenge. So Chandru ends up sweeping. They go into round three. The betting round, Kevin bets three, Chandru bets one. Kevin gets it correct. Chandru misses it. So now it's 21-17 with Chandru leading going into round four, the speed round. They both get nine. At a certain point, Chandru tries to argue about six being the wrong answer for the Colby Smulders appearance of saying Far From Home. But the actress is still in the movie, whether she's a Skrull or not. It has nothing to do with the actress being in the movie. Colby Smulders is in that movie. Colby Smulders went on that set and played that character and is credited in the movie. So his argument, and at that point, it didn't even matter. So, like, he just was just trying to throw more shit in there to probably frazzle Kevin and show off. yeah, there was that. And he was doing a lot of things during the match, I think, just to kind of get in Kevin's head and frazzle him. He did this whole thing where he was like trying to say, oh, Kevin, put your hand up like this so it looks like we're touching hands. And like they had to tell him, okay, you're pushing it, Chandru, like cut it out. And, you know, just faces he was making and, you know, things he was muttering under his breath. And he was just doing things the whole match, I think, to get to Kevin. And I think it worked a little bit, which I'll get into at the end of, you know, going through this match. But so they both get nine in the speed round. So now it's 30-26, Chandru leading. Kevin, he gets his two. He misses his three. And then you can hear Chandru whisper under his breath, I think this will be over soon, which I'm just like, okay. And then Kevin gets his five, bouncing it back to Chandru, gets his two. He's milking it. He knows it. He knows the answer, but he burns through all his repeats just to A, make it look like it's a hard pull, to, you know, try to build some kind of tension, and just to rub it in Kevin's face. So, which is what I presume he was doing, because and so he does it and he gets the answer right. He wins. He's the now the Inner Geekdom champion. So now he's kind of being touted as one of the greatest heels and all of this kind of thing. So my issue is, you know, I don't know much about wrestling. I used to watch wrestling a lot when I was younger with my brother until he tried to put me in a figure four headlock and almost, you know, broke my neck. And then I was done with wrestling. And I've heard, you know, people who know wrestling really well, like Brad Gilmore and stuff, talk about heels and like how you would have to hate a heel. You're not a good heel unless people hate you and people despise you. But the whole point of wrestling is so that people watch it, so that people are entertained by it. So when you're a bad guy and people want to hate you and people love to hate you, I think that's a big thing. I think people want to love to hate a heel. And that love is very important. So maybe I'm understanding this wrong because I'm not somebody who knows wrestling very well. But I think you have to love to hate them. I don't love to hate Chandru. Like, I just don't like him, you know, his personality in what he shows in matches. And it makes me just not want to watch him at all. And I don't think that's what you want, if I'm being perfectly honest. Just him muttering that under his breath, oh, this is going to be over soon, and him milking it, you know, that was probably the worst thing Ben Bateman has brought to the Schmodown. He did the whole kind of long pause, milking the answer thing, and yeah, that's kind of his trademark thing, and yeah, that made him a heel that you love to hate. Because he was even doing it in when I played him and I was like, don't do that with me. I know what you're doing. But you love to hate it. And now other competitors like Chandru try to do it and it's obvious and it's just not as good as Bateman. So it's just kind of irritating. And like, I know for 100% fact, I know for 100% fact that he was faking it, that he knew that answer and he just wanted to milk it for the attention, for the tension or whatever, because when he played the, I think it was Brandon, when he played him, he had the whole Nicholas Hooper 5-point pull to beat him. And he did this long pause and he was like forcing his face and doing all this stuff. And, you know, I was trying to be nice and I was like, hey, great Nicholas Hooper pull. And then he told me that he knew it. He just acted like he didn't so that it would look like a hard pull. He told me that himself. So that's what he does. And I guess that plays into his great heel persona that, you know, everyone's talking up. But I think my problem with that is he didn't start as a heel. He was supposed to be a face. And just how he naturally was acting came off as a heel. So then they just said, okay, you're a heel now. So there was no heel turn. That was just always who he was. So I don't like that now he's kind of on this pedestal as greatest heel or one of the greatest heels when that wasn't really the plan and there was no kind of official heel turn. It just kind of happened because that's just how he acted since day one. So that kind of thing just bugs me about the whole, you know, him now being a heel, because I don't know that it's actually really been 100% established that he's a heel. I mean, I guess he is, but I don't, since there was no turn, it just was all of a sudden stated just because of how he was already acting. It just doesn't feel earned. And yeah, I don't have the love to hate like I would with a guy or a Mike or a Ben when they were heels, you know? I just don't really want to watch him at all, if I'm being honest. I mean, props to him. He, you know, played the game very intelligently. He knew his stuff. He, you know, knew history of the Schmoden, and that helped him. That was really smart, and I was very impressed by that. Much respect to him on all those fronts, you know, playing with your food and picking at Kevin the way he was and trying to get in Kevin's head. All very smart. All very smart moves in how to play this game. Definitely very smart. And I will give him props on that. I will give him respect for that. But he is just not a character that I want to see. You know, it's not somebody like I'm clamoring to watch because the things he does are just things that I don't like. It just doesn't feel sportsman. It feels like he's pushing the limit to the point where where the commentators have to constantly tell him to like dial it back and to chill out and to stop. And, you know, when they have to do that all the time, it's a little bit overkill. So those are just my personal thoughts. Respect to Chandru. Congratulations to him for now being the new Inner Geekdom champion. He played an amazing game. He did the things he needed to do to win that match. And congratulations to him. Great strategist. Really smart gameplay. But yeah, if that's what a heel is supposed to be, where you're just supposed to like not like them at all and hate them, then okay. But for me, I think you need to have that love to hate in there because you want people to watch and come back and want to watch these people. And I don't know that I really want to watch that kind of behavior. So that's just my personal take. Agree with it if you want. Don't if you don't. It is what it is. That's how I feel personally. So yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry for Kev. I know he'll come back stronger. He's amazing. I know the work he puts into this. I'm super proud of him. And yeah, he will definitely be back stronger. For sure. And congratulations to him on a marriage and a baby coming. He has so many other awesome, great things in life to look forward to. So yeah, I'm really excited for him on that front and really excited to see him come back because he will even stronger. And I'll be ready for that because I'm just so proud of my friend. He's amazing. And just so classy the whole match. Just, you know, gave Chandru his props and was super respectful and, you know, just played it all very classy. So I appreciate that. And again, congratulations to Chandru, the new Inner Geekdom champion. But yeah, we also had the singles tournament matches kind of kick off last week. We had Adam Collins versus Andres Gallego. We had James White versus Frank Moran, and we had Marisol McKee versus Bonnie Somerville. So we had a lot of fresh new faces I was really excited to see, and three of them are actually people I've had some great interactions with and I was really, really rooting for and really looking forward to seeing. So like I said, I won't get into too much in-depth detail on these matches just because, you know, I'm doing the whole thing on the Patreon, playing along with all of these matches, so you'll get to see me watch them and play along. On the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon. So if you want to see that, feel free to join our Patreon today at It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com. But yeah, the Adam Collins Gallego match, I was rooting for Adam. I had met him in New York and he was just super nice and sweet. He is actually a It's a Wonderful Podcast patron. So I appreciate his support and, you know, has talked to me about helping me get, you know, artwork jobs and things like that. So he is just such a really awesome person. I was really excited to see his debut. And he did not disappoint. I think he's a great fit with Corruption. I liked his attitude. I liked his style. I liked his demeanor. Just very calm and cool and chill. Andres. I'm thinking about the next match. Andres, I liked his personality as well. He was kind of just really fun and upbeat. Definitely has some work to do, but there's a lot of potential there for him. You know, first match out. Great job. And Adam was really impressive, you know, missing very few questions, just very kind of studied and really focused. And I really liked that about him. So congrats to him on an amazing, amazing win. And then we get into James White versus Frank Moran. Of course, I was rooting for James. He is a really good friend, you know. He's been wanting to compete for a long time. I've wanted to see him compete for a really long time. You know, he's in the fan leagues. Definitely somebody I talked to Christian about, like, hey, you know, James is amazing. He needs to play. And really excited for his debut. And, you know, all of this stuff happened. So his opportunities kept getting delayed. So I was really finally excited to see him play. Definitely not his strongest, but, you know, he pulled out that win. Luck was on his side. He had some really great pulls. The Catherine O'Hara was an amazing pull. I'm just really proud of him and really excited to see him play again. He did such an awesome job. Frank, I feel like he's kind of old era Schmodown where you're just kind of coming in with knowing what you know and just having fun. And that's also really great to see. So I'm excited to see more from him as well. So definitely a fun match there. The match I was most excited for was definitely Marisol McKee versus Bonnie Somerville. My very first match ever was Bonnie. So yeah, I was curious to see if Bonnie had, you know, been doing any kind of preparation to kind of prove Shannon wrong for dismissing her. And I was really excited to see Marisol play. She was also another fan that I had a great interaction with in New York. You know, she came up to me and Brianne and just talked to us about how us being females in the league inspired her so much, how I inspired her being a woman of color, and just was really excited about wanting to compete and getting into the Schmodown. And I talked to her about the fan leagues and said, you know, that's the best bet. Christian watches those matches, watches the fan leagues, always looking for new stars coming out of there. And just tried to be encouraging to her. And, you know, but she had such a great attitude. She was a great personality, super positive and bubbly and kind, and really loved her. So I was really excited to see what she was going to do here. And she did not disappoint. Her character stuff was so good. She is definitely another great fit for Corruption. Loved her kind of Lady Justice thing. Love that she's going to have a tagline at the end of every win. Just justice is served. I loved it. She played amazing. She had some great pulls for sure. When I was playing along with this one, Bonnie's energy, I don't know what was going on there, but she was just very kind of excited and a little bit erratic, and like just this crazy energy she had was just kind of putting me on edge a little bit, making me a little nervous. So yeah, like she was very hyped up and like, you know, wild a little bit. So that was kind of like giving me this weird nervous energy when I was playing along. So that was very interesting to see. Also very kind of shocked at how little she still knows about the game at this point. You know, she's with the Droogs and that was kind of a whole last minute switch up and that's kind of a whole mess. And Ken is very kind of hands off, you know, chill about everything. So I don't expect him to be going over, you know, rules and things with her. But the lack of like gameplay stuff that she still doesn't know was a little bit scary. And then also, I think there was a big kind of dispute with her 5-point question. In my head, I automatically just jumped to King Stefan, thinking of Aurora's dad, like, and that's what I thought it was. So when the whole Stephen Hubert thing came up, I thought, okay, well, maybe the spelling is weird. Maybe because I thought Stefan was with an F, but maybe it's with a PH and they tend to mispronounce things like that, just how it's spelled. So when she kept saying Stephen Hubert, I was like, I don't remember the Huber part. I remember it's Stefan, but maybe they're reading it as Stephen because of just how it's spelled. So I was really confused by that. But then in kind of talking to people and looking it up, I believe Hubert is the actual answer, not Stephen Hubert. And she said Stephen Hubert twice. And there was no clarification, like final answer asked or anything. And they just accepted it. So had, you know, Marisol been in a situation where she could have lost because of Bonnie getting that 5, I definitely think corruption would have had a valid challenge there, because I don't think that was the correct answer from what I've been told and from what I've seen. And also they didn't really ask for clarification. And also a lot in this match, I noticed they weren't really doing a lot of asking for hands up. You know, and so there were a lot of hands out of frame that match. I'm not saying anybody cheated. I'm just saying, you know, I see them really kind of pushing it with other matches. And this one, they weren't really pushing it that much. So I just hope there is a better consistency of them kind of, you know, making sure everyone has their hands up, just so it's fair for everyone. Everyone is, you know, getting the same kind of, you know, attention for, hey, you know, follow the rules. So yeah, this was just a wild match, you know, the energies were crazy. I loved seeing Marisol. Her personality is amazing. And I think a lot of people have kind of fallen in love with her after this match. So I'm really excited to see more from her. Bonnie actually, you know, I think she actually did, this is probably the best she's ever played. So I was really kind of happy for her in a way that she actually, you know, did good. And it was really cute to see her get excited about things in the match. But definitely just needs to kind of learn the rules of the game a little bit. And yeah, there was just kind of some weird moments in there, but some great opening matches for the singles tournament. You know, the more I watch, the more I'm a little bit bummed that I'm not in it. But yeah, like I said, if you want to see me play along with these matches and see how well I do or how bad I do, or, you know, if it was probably better that I wasn't in this tournament, join the Patreon at the $3 tier at It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com, or just search It's a Wonderful Podcast on Patreon and join today, and you will get to see me play along with all the matches in the tournament, aside from the live matches, because I do like to watch those when they premiere live. And usually, you know, when I do, like, I'm just having to listen to it because I'm at work or I'm out at those times. So I'm not really sitting at home able to kind of record myself, and I want to watch it as it's happening or listen to it as it's happening. I don't want to wait. So, yeah. So I usually won't have the play alongs for the live matches. But all the other matches, I'm planning to play along with all of them. So those will be up on our Patreon if you want to check that out. But yeah, guys, I think that's it. We have a new batch of matches coming this week. It's going to be crazy busy. So I'm looking forward to that. Talking all these matches with you and going through this whole singles tournament is going to be wild. We also have some huge matches coming up. Guy versus Bateman, a Kevin Smith versus Chris Jericho, which I'm super excited about. So we got a lot of crazy things coming down the line. Also be talking the championship match between my man Ethan Irwin versus Dan Merle, and Final Exam versus Shazam. So we'll be talking all of that mess next week on Machine Mondays for sure. Thank you guys so much for listening. It means a lot to me when you guys check out this show, because I know there are a lot of Schmodown shows that have been popping up all over the place. And, you know, I think more people are visual as opposed to, you know, hearing things like a podcast. So, you know, we do what we do here at Machine Mondays. So thank you for listening. You know, if you don't agree with me, that's perfectly fine. That's what this world is about, you know, everyone having their own opinions and being able to respectfully talk about them. So just thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And yeah, if you want to check out the other shows on this feed, you can find all of it at the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. Of course, Machine Mondays every Monday with me. And every Wednesday we have Morgan Hasn't Seen, where I force my co-host Morgan Robinson to watch a related series of films or a franchise of films he's missed. We've had some really fun episodes. But actually for this month, the whole month of August, we've switched it up and it has become Janine Hasn't Seen because it's my birthday month. So Morgan has all the control and he's just picking some of his favorite movies that I've never seen to share with me. So it's been really fun. This week we are talking The Haunted Palace, a Vincent Price film. He's been talking about this movie for years to me, so I'm really excited to check it out and discuss it. And then this Friday, every Friday, we have It's a Wonderful Podcast, the main show, where we give love to those classic films. I switch off hosting duties every week with Nolan Dean, our other co-host. Morgan is the constant over there. So this week, it'll be Nolan Dean on the show. So they're going to have a really fun episode on Friday. So yeah, we've got you covered three times a week, every Monday with Machine Mondays, every Wednesday with Morgan Hasn't Seen, which this month it's now Janine Hasn't Seen, and every Friday with It's a Wonderful Podcast. You can find the podcast feed all places where podcasts are found. You know, Morgan's better at this than me. The Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Anchor, Google Play, all those places, all the places. So yeah, check out the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. Yeah, I love doing these shows, so I hope you guys check them out. And like I said, like I've been saying and plugging this whole episode, we have the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon at It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com, or you can just search It's a Wonderful One on Patreon, or It's a Wonderful Podcast on patreon.com. And join today, you get lots of fun things like these play-alongs I'll be doing. You get fun artwork. You get to learn about all the cool stuff Morgan is doing with a football team in the UK. You get kind of breakdowns of my art. You get to do fun Sunday live streams with us. So yeah, custom artwork. So yeah, all kinds of fun things on the Patreon. Please check it out if you would like. And speaking of my artwork, you can check all that out at my Tee Public shop on teepublic.com at G9Design. All my art is there. If you are a patron who's gotten a custom logo, you can get that there and get your own merch. So yeah, all of that is there. Check it out. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening again. It's just going to be crazy busy. It's tournament season, so I'm super excited. I hope you're excited too. Thank you guys so much for everything. You're the best. And until next time, XOXO Machine out.